Hey, this is John Five, and you're watching The Jeremy White Show.
An all-new episode of The Jeremy White Podcast, Tuesday at noon, available wherever you stream. Catch up on past interviews and episodes on demand now. Subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
Our next guest is an absolutely iconic guitar player. I'm super stoked to talk to him because I have tons of questions. I'm a total gearhead, by the way, so we're going to be talking all kinds of guitars and all kinds of awesomeness. Brand new record called Sinners coming out on October 29th. The first single is called Que Pasa featuring Dave Mustaine. Available now where music is sold. Make sure you pre-order this record because it's going to be amazing. Welcome to the show. For the first time ever, there he is, John Five, everybody. Look at him.
Thank you for having me.
I was going to play like some Kiss like entrance music or something for you, but I didn't have anything lined up. Hold on, wait. Oh, there's Mitch. Let's get Mitch into here and then he'll be able to join into this awesomeness. Here we go. Come on, Mitch. So talk about this record just really quickly, because I have a lot more questions I want to get to. Leading up to Sinner, I mean, I want to talk about Educated Horses. The first time I saw you live was the Hellbilly Deluxe 2 tour in Montreal. I was front row. You threw one of the creature picks at me, hit me in the eye, almost went blind. All kinds of stuff to touch on. So let's just talk about Sinner, like, you know, right off the top, because the first single with Dave is incredible.
Yes.
How do you get Dave Mustaine on a track and write this song?
You know, thank you, by the way. Yeah, I have to be like, I'm so happy and so honored that Dave agreed to be a part of this. I had a James Brown sample in there, and at a concert, and he was like, "Que pasa, people, que pasa," you know, and he's talking to the people. And I just thought it was such a cool line, you know, and it's anything, even when James Brown talks, it's funky, you know, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. But the record company was like, well, we can't use X, we'll get sued and all that stuff. So I was on a Megadeth crazy, and they said, okay, well, who would you want to have? And I said, first time I saw Megadeth was So Far, So Good, So What, and really great, and super excited. Like, and I know Dave enough to say hello and how's it going, and we know each other. But I reached out to his assistant, and his assistant played in the song, and he really dug it. And you know, I'm so thankful and so happy that people are digging the song, because you know, so many great things are happening right now, and it's instrumental music. I mean,
yeah,
it's just, I'm entertaining these people with the guitar, and it just means the world to me, because I just play guitar so much, and it just makes me so happy. And if I can make some people happy on the way, I mean, it's incredible. And so I'm really thankful for all of this.
Yeah. And it's so, like, you know, you're a musician for musicians in a way, because it's like, I see you online and, you know, wearing your Kiss onesie and with your masks and just playing with the kill switch and just having like a total blast, like a kid in a candy store. And like, that is inspirational. And just like, I don't even know what the word is. It's just like, it makes you feel good, like, as a musician, to see somebody so happy playing their music, you know?
It really is. And why I do that at home, I'll wear like onesies and like all that stuff, because for years and years and years and years and years, my mom always bought me the craziest looking pajamas. Like, I don't know why she did that, but like, just for fun, you know, she would just buy me crazy pajamas. And, you know, they have both passed on, but I wear that as a comfort, you know, and it's nice and it's fun. And so I always thought, I'm going to go on Instagram and just be exactly who I am at home. And because it's a little odd, you know, it's a little strange and stuff like that, but I'll live in like these pajamas, and I'll sometimes go to like a market or something like that, but in them. But I just wanted to be very honest, you know, on social media, and try to inspire some people, play guitar and try to inspire some people on the way.
Yeah. I was just listening to the live record, because I bought the limited edition, the everything when it came out last fall. And right. There's a lot of kill switch featured on this. Now, I used to think You Really Got Me was the coolest kill switch sounding thing ever, and so much ace stuff as well. But I mean, you've taken the kill switch to a completely different level now, to the point where it's like it's almost your thing. Like, how did that start?
Well, I think it started with, and I'm inspired. I always look for inspiration.
Right.
I would say it started probably with Ace Frehley and then, you know, Eddie Van Halen. But then it took it to another level with like Tom Morello, mm-hmm. with Toggle Switch and then Buckethead, creating these rhythms. And I just thought that was so interesting and creative. You know, I just really, really loved that a lot. And that's what I did. You know, just I try to create these cool rhythms, and it ain't easy, you know, to
no.
work at it a lot.
I was sitting just in my studio, and I got one of the new 5150 Stealth guitars that has a kill switch on it, and I'm trying to play one of those riffs, and they're like, it's impossible to do it. I don't even know how the hell you do it, man, or even how you came up with some of those cool licks. They're just so cool.
Yeah, it's just sitting around, just like, you know, just before I was talking to you guys, I just sit around and I play guitar, and that's just what makes me happy. Thank God, you know, I'm able to do what I do. I haven't worked a day in my life, you know, because I do so much.
Yeah. So how do you write songs for an instrumental album? Are you sitting there, just like you said, playing guitar, and you come up with a lick? You're like, oh, that could be a good song. It's a good melody. That could be a song. Or like, how do you write an instrumental record?
Yeah.
You know, when I first started doing this, I was like, how do you write an instrumental song? It's a very good question, because like if you sit down and write a song, okay, you have a verse, you have a chorus, you know, you have lyrics and you have a bridge and a riff and a chord structure. But with instrumental songs, it could be that. It could be like even a kind of little symphony, if you will. And it could be anything like that. Like all the songs hundreds of years ago were instrumentals that weren't operas, you know.
Right.
With how I try to do it, I'm trying to reach like a crowd that can hear an instrumental song and go, oh, I really like this. I try to create a cool riff, some exciting guitar stuff, and a chorus hook, and try to make it, the songs are not simple by any means, but try to make them that people will hear that and go, oh, you know what, I really like that. That's really cool. That's I can, there's a riff, there's a chorus, and that's how I've always tried to do it, and it's been working for me so far, you know. And I love my instrumentalists like Steve Vai and Yngwie and Paul Gilbert and all these people that
right.
mm-hmm.
Written some of the greatest instrumental songs ever.
Yeah.
And I just try to create a formula, like if it's a zombie song or something like that, create a cool riff, a cool song structure, and put in a really great chorus for it too.
Hmm.
When do you see your, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Mitch.
I was going to say, since you're doing the instrumental thing now, do you want to get into scoring movies and TV shows and get into that sort of atmospheric behind the scenes kind of stuff as well?
I used to do a lot of scoring, and right. I didn't really like it because and to be honest, you know, I never really enjoyed it, because what it is, it's, and I've done it a lot, you know, for TV shows and movies, right. But they were like, okay, well, you don't want to distract the crowd, you know, the audience. You don't want to like, you know, take away the attention from the movie. And I thought to myself, you know, of course they're right. Absolutely right. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Isn't this, I'm creating music that's not to be listened to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like you're creating music to be ignored.
Yeah. Hey, don't listen to me.
Yeah.
No.
Unless you're John Williams, then you're allowed to go, nah, 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 nah.
No, but I asked that because you must know Kevin Valentine, who was the drummer, who's the drummer in Don Iris, and he played on Kiss Revenge and stuff. And I was talking to Kevin one time, and he says, Mitch, you don't understand. I sit at home. This week I'm working on a Tom Selleck movie. I punch in 9 to 5. I put in my drums. Then I go home. There's no touring. My dog's here. It's terrific. And he loved it. And so people, I guess that's just not for you.
No, people absolutely, and I know tons of my friends that just love it so.
Right.
But I want to be out on tour. I love people.
Right.
You know, I want to see their faces. I want to hear, you know, their stories. For some reason, I just love people and I love seeing people and I love being out on stage and I love catering and I love, you know, pulling up to the venue.
Oh.
I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
I can imagine. One time we spoke in the past, you obviously told me about that David Lee Roth record, and that's become a story that's gone all over the internet over the years. He's announced his retirement. What does that mean to you in terms of him announcing his retirement? Does part of you just sort of go, oh, come on, Dave, just stick around another 5 years. Don't walk away.
Well, listen, he's been releasing songs that me and Dave have done. Every couple of months. And
oh, so that's you playing on those stuff?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then there's a song I really hope he releases. It's called Nothing Could Have Stopped Us.
Right.
And it is absolutely my favorite David Lee Roth song. And not just because we worked on it together, but it is so good and so sincere. But to answer your question, you know, these are our superheroes, you know, and they are human and they, you know, a lot of them are starting to retire. And okay. I think that's okay. You know, they've given us so much great music and so many amazing memories. Mm-hmm. And if they want to retire, they know, you know, and I think it's good for certain artists to say, oh, I'm going to hang it up and things like that. And instead of us being upset and mad about it, I just feel like, you know, well, thank you for the music, the memories.
Yep.
And
you can't be upset. I mean, you look at sports stars and you look at Nolan Ryan or Roger Staubach and we're like, wow, these are the greatest. And you look at, they gave us 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Stanley, David, they've given us 50 years. 15. You know, so... You can't complain.
You can't fault them.
You can't complain.
You have to applaud them.
100%. Yeah. You've got Peter Criss on this, and it potentially could be his last recorded performance. Your friendship with Peter has gone back 20, 25 years, if not longer. Talk to me about having him on there and the importance of having him on there and saying, you know what, Peter, Let's one more time. Let's do this.
It's true. Like, you know, I was talking to Peter today and he's happy. He's healthy. He's playing drums. He's singing. And we have a bunch of songs together and he wants to start working on these songs. And hopefully I'm not...
Oh, what happened? We lost him.
He froze.
John, you there?
John's Wi-Fi froze.
Yeah. Well, while we're frozen, I'll just say Sinner. Oh, he's back. There he is.
Yeah, you froze up there for a second, John.
Did I? Maybe that's a sign that I shouldn't be talking.
That's Peter outside playing with your connection.
Yeah. Peter's going, don't be spraying in there.
So you got a bunch of songs together. Is that eventually going to be a collection of tunes? You think that could get released?
I really think me just like knowing Peter and how inspired he is right now, and He wants to release music, and I think it's well, and they're great songs too. So I'm happy for him, and I'm helping him, and whatever he needs from me, I'm always there for him.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back and talk about Sinner really quickly, because you mentioned, you know, with the scoring and writing the difference. What's the difference between, say, coming up with something for Sinner versus a Rob Zombie song?
Well, there's a lot less guitar solos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's with Rob, he's right there with me. Like when we work on this music, Rob's right there, like, you know, a couple, you know, like a foot away from me going, oh, I like that, or I change that, or do this. So Rob is very, very involved with all the music and everything, the production, everything. He's got his, like, he's so focused when we're making a record. And I've worked with so many people, but he's definitely, you know, the top of how well you work with somebody. You know, just like you guys are like, oh, I really get along with this guy really well. And I really like being around him, and we have bounced ideas off each other. And that's how it is with Rob. We just work really, really well together. Mm-hmm. And with my instrumental music, what I did was, because we had this lockdown and there wasn't much to do, so I just sat and played guitar all the time and was writing these songs. And I would take a song and I would rehearse it tirelessly. Like, I would just work on these songs, because when I went into the studio, I just wanted to play them as a full performance. I didn't want to stop. And so I just would play, like, let's say a week straight of just playing the song over and over and over again, because I wanted to just play it as a live performance. And I think that is an art that is being lost today. I said this before, but I was listening to old, like, music from the 30s and the 40s. Everything that was recorded was a live performance back then.
Yeah.
Those guys had to be on their game. You know, they had to be
great. They had to be great.
Yeah.
If you mess up, everybody in that orchestra is going to look at you and go, oh, boy, you know, this guy's messing up again. You can't have that. It has to be just perfect. And that's what I tried to do, because I had so much time on my hands, just like everybody else. I just wanted to get it as a live performance. And that's how we did Sinner.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking back to some of my favorite songs. I mean, you listen to, like, American Witch, or you listen to What, and some of those, like, to me, they're iconic riffs of the early 2000s, and even today, mm-hmm. It's like that den, and they're simple, but they're so catchy. And I'm just curious, you know, like, when you and Rob are writing there, like, does he come in with a melody or a song title, and are you sitting there with, like, playing that riff, like that riff in What, for example, like, oh my God, it's so simple, but just catches you right away.
That's the magic, you know, just something that you can play over and over and over and over and over and not get sick of. Like Thunderkiss, you could play that all day and not get sick of it.
Yep.
But with how we write is, yeah, like me and Rob will start working on music and things like that. But on this last record, which is by far my favorite Zombie record, I, you know, hands down, just my opinion, it's my favorite.
The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy, Mitch.
Yes.
Yes, of course. Of course.
I suggested Rob Zombie new album.
Oh.
But so we, on this record, the new record, he had his vocals and melody ready. And he had basic music, and then I came in and put the music all around his vocal, and it really worked incredible. I am so happy of how that turned out. And man, because it's so cool. I really, really enjoy that album a lot. And then we play these songs live, and it's just a blast. You know, I just am so happy that, you know, I'm still doing it with Rob Zombie. It's like been 17 years or so.
Yeah. By the way, you should call it the new album, because the Everly Brothers had an album called the new album, and to have that visual with Rob having one called the new album, be like, look at that. You've got the cute one and you got the dark one. It's perfect.
Perfect. Especially after crazy record titles like that of it, just new album.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Everly Brothers did it, so why not? Let me ask you this. The last time we spoke in Montreal, you were having your album coming out and you were putting out a video every month.
Yes.
And you said to me, this is the way to do it, because every month I'm in the press cycle. Every month the fans have something to look forward to. How did that pan out now that, you know, after the experiment, how did that pan out? Was it a good marketing ploy? And is that something that you want to use again moving forward?
I would love to use that, because I do think that's really a good way to go. Because if I said, Mitch, you know, check out this band, you know, let's say the White Walls, this new band, the White Walls, and you went, where would you go? You'd probably go to YouTube.
Absolutely. First stop.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, what a cool way to do it is, like, go, okay, cool. Here's a video for that. I would love to do a video for every song. It's very expensive, but again, I really think people watch music nowadays, which is wonderful, on our phones, on our computer, on our TVs even. You know, every TV has YouTube or Instagram or anything like mm-hmm. that. I think it's a wonderful way to do it. Everybody just watches music.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's also important, you know, with the live show, because like you go see Rob and the spectacle is absolutely incredible, and it just elevates the music to another level. Even you and the solo band, you've got the inflatables and you've got the LED Marshall amp and you got the whole thing, and it elevates it. It attacks the sensors.
Yeah,
sensors.
Visual. It's always been very important to me. So we are going to make a new video for, I haven't told this to anybody, so how exciting.
Yeah, there you go.
Great.
For the song Land of the Misfit Toys, and it will be the, you know, new video for the record Sinner, and it will come out, God willing, but I believe it will come out on the 29th, the day of the record. So it's really one of my favorite songs on the album. It's really a lot of fun.
Talk about a treat for Halloween.
Right, I know, right? Or a trick.
Ooh. Well, that's amazing. One last question before I go. I'm always curious about this. On the song American Witch, there's a really cool effect before the first verse on the high part of the guitar. It's almost like a tremolo-y kind of effect. What exactly is that? Could you finally tell me what it is?
It is. Okay, so it's a chorus pedal. It's a Boss Blue chorus pedal. I think it's called Super Chorus. And it's so elementary, but I just turn all the knobs to 10, and it creates this really fast tremolo effect. So it's a Super Chorus Boss pedal, and I just turn it all to 10. So if you have that pedal, it's a very common pedal, try that, and that's the exact sound.
That's the tone.
That's the tone. And I want to wrap up on this one, because I know you're a huge music fan. You grew up on Kiss. You grew up on Journey. You grew up on Van Halen. And you've had a chance to work with Steve Perry and Paul Stanley and Peter Criss and the Scorpions. Do you go in there as sort of a kid in a candy store, all excited? Or you just go in there and get to work. Like, what's it like to now work with all these heroes, and they're seeking you out because they know he can write a good song, he can do a good riff,
and he's a fan.
And he's a fan. What's that like to, you know, turn from the kid in the bedroom to I'm standing in a room with the Scorpions on Humanity Hour 1, and I'm going to write a great effing song for them?
Here's the truth. I still can't believe it. I still think I'm going to wake up, whoa, dude, I had this crazy dream. And now I'm telling you guys this dream, oh, I wrote with these people and I played these big concerts and I was this well-known guitar player and I was on the cover of magazines and had records, you'd be like, whoa, that's a pretty crazy dream. And so I am so thankful for this, because when I was young and I was playing guitar, you know, some people are like, I'm going to be president of the United States and I'm going to go to the moon and I'm going to do this. I didn't have dreams like that because I don't know. I just thought that was like just crazy, you know? So I never thought I was, and I can't even say rock star. I never even thought I was going to be a well-known musician. I just wanted to play guitar and be a session guy. So when this, all these things happen, it's mind blowing to me. When Nikki's like, hey dude, you know, we're doing this movie, The Dirt, and we need some songs, you know? So come on over, we'll do some songs. I'm like, okay. And then I get this, you know, record award and all this stuff. It says Motley Crue on it. And I'm credited with Mick Mars and Vince Neil and Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx. It's like, it's just.
And the Steve Perry one, I mean, here's his comeback record, you know, 20 years, he hasn't done anything. And he's got you doing Sunshine's Gray.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
Guys, it really is. It's a dream. And I'm shocked, you know, and even with David Lee Roth, you know, maybe it's, who knows if he's going to do more music or something, but just to be a part of that history, it really is a dream. And I can't believe it myself.
Yeah.
And Steve Perry is such a perfectionist that the fact that he kept you and said, this is going on Traces, tells me just that's how good you are. Is because Steve Perry is super perfectionist.
Oh, he's unbelievable. And I'll tell you, like, we would be getting ready to record or something or write something, and he'd be sitting right next to me. And he'd go, oh, let's warm up. Let me warm up my voice a little bit. And we'd play some Journey songs. And it sounded exactly like the record. I'll never forget that as long as I live, because he's right here sitting next to me, and it sounded exactly like a record. It was haunting.
Yeah, I know. You're like, what? That's you're nuts. Running tape during warm up? He goes, no, it's my voice. What the?
Unbelievable how.
No, he's just great. And,
yeah.
You know, well, I interviewed him once years ago, and I asked him why he sort of got out of the biz and stopped singing. And he says, Mitch, you don't understand. He goes, my mom and dad died. So I knew they could never see me again. So I had no reason to go on stage again. And I was just like, wow. And, you know, then Traces comes out 14 years after that interview. So.
Yeah, he's wonderful. A great person. Just a great person.
Agreed. Love Steve.
Yeah, it's funny, my buddy Trev Lukather, he worked with Steve and with his band Lavara before they broke up not long ago, and he was telling me like all kinds of stuff, like Steve would give him ideas in the studio and stuff, and one of the things he always told him was like, you need to play front row licks, don't be wanking off and going out of control on the fretboard, nobody cares, if you want chicks in the front row flashing you, this is how you got to play.
Front row licks, that's what it is. Yeah.
I was like that, front row licks, like that should be...
I think let me put this in for my new instrumental title of my new instrumental album.
Yeah.
Front row licks. Yeah, get
front
that down.
Front row licks.
You can have it. Yep. Consider this my...
Before we wrap up, just real quick, since it's October, Shocktober's in full swing, give us John Five's five essential horror flicks to watch for Halloween season.
Okay, now I'm glad you asked this as well, because I am doing... me and my family and friends and whoever wants to come over, we do a movie at night. So it's like movie night. So actually, I'll pull up what we have.
You have an actual list in your phone. I love it.
Okay.
I'll tell you what movie was a real horror. Garbage Pail Kids from way back when.
Oh, here we go. He's going to show us the list. Let's see it.
Oh, there we go. See, Halloween, Rob Zombie.
All right, good.
Carrie's on there.
Let him read it out, Mitch. Quiet.
Amityville Horror, The Exorcist, The Omen, E.T., which I like E.T. because they're trick-or-treating in it and all that stuff. Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Of course.
The Conjuring, The Shining, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which we did last night, which is great. Shadow of the Vampire, which is John Malkovich, where he plays Max Schreck in, like, from Nosferatu from the 20s. Great. The Others, what's the one, The Happening, that's on right now in HBO. So there's a plethora of movies that we're going through right now. That it's so much fun. It really is a lot of fun. But The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, all that stuff.
So you got the super over the top stuff, and then you got the fun stuff.
Yeah, and of course all the Universal, you know, Dracula, Creature, you know, Wolfman, Mummy, all that stuff, Frankenstein, all that great stuff.
The classics.
Yep, that's what the we classics. Love. There you go. We're gonna have to slap all those on this month, Mitch. It's the essential list.
We will, and go watch Garbage Pail Kids. Worst movie I've seen in my entire life. That's a fucking horror right there. Jesus Christ.
Sinners coming on October 29th. You can pre-order it now wherever music is sold, and all kinds of cool stuff on John's website as usual. He's the king of merch, as I like to say. Good stuff up there, so go check that out. John, it's so great to chat with you this afternoon. Best of luck with this record. Next time you're in Montreal, let's hang.
Absolutely.
An all-new episode of the Jeremy White Podcast, Tuesday at noon, available wherever you stream. Catch up on past interviews and episodes on demand now. Subscribe so you don't miss any of it.